among Muslims and disagreement even among the scholars. But how the disagreement can be approached? The disagreement can be approached only if there is a opposing, you know, you have an opinion that opposes the other scholar or the other brother's opinion that he already said it or conveyed to people. At that time you can talk and you say, I disagree, but I think, I feel, I reckon, I guess, all these terms are not needed to express our disagreement, because you cannot be disagreeing guessing. Said the brother, I think that you this, and I think the other scholar has said, is it based on I think? Is the deen of Allah based I think and my impression, whatever I feel, or whatever you said of a statement, I have to take it and analyze it and then bring you the evidence to it. Why we have to jump? Why we cannot tie our tongue and, you know, speak to the point? Or if we don't have this, we don't need to speak. Because the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us a beautiful hadith that he said, whosoever believe in Allah, let those who believe in Allah and the day of judgment to say good or remain silent. Why I cannot be silent? Why I cannot remain silent? Why? Why I have to bring fitna? Because either you are envying the person that you are trying to prove that he is wrong, or you have some envy and jealousy, and you have some sickness of the heart. The etiquettes of disagreement between the scholars, they talk, they disagree with each other, but they respect, as the same token, they respect each other. Especially if we are from the same group, the group of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we are from the group of the Sunnah and Jama'ah. Therefore our disagreement must be is in a respected manner. The scholars disagree among each other, but they do not take it to the bones. Each one of them criticize that the saying of the other with evidence and solid knowledge. Not anything I have to say. Some people interrupted the classes just to say, oh brother, what you say is wrong. Okay, that's fine. But you have to have that solid knowledge to back up what you are saying. If you don't, and you say, I feel and I think I heard, all these terms will lead to fitna and lead to more confusion among the believers, male and female. So this is the etiquette of disagreeing with each other. And especially in a fiqh issue, there are, you know, some scholars have more evidence, or their evidence is more weighty, that means it's more strong than others. And for you to say this, I disagree with it, and period, you put period right there, now it won't work. You have to bring, so you say, brother, I believe what you said about last time, and is about concerning this issue, is the disagreement, and this is my evidence. The scholar so-and-so said about this, and he backs up his opinion with this. I don't have knowledge. Wallahi, I swear by Allah, it's better to be quiet. Wallahi, because you don't need the headache. You don't need the headache. You know, you don't need the headache. You have two ears So hear and listen more than you talk. You have one mouth versus two ears. So we have two tools versus one tool. One tool to talk and two tools to hear. So use the two tools to hear more. That means hear more than you talk. Because when we talk and make a mistake, especially if we are dealing with the deen of Allah, the religion of Allah, we just cannot throw any information out there and say this is what we believe is true. Maybe, I don't know. Wallahi, we are living, you know, days that ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to deliver us, peacefully from these days, because these days where a lot of people have no knowledge, no solid knowledge, and yet they will attack you and they will put you down, and also they will say a lot of things that you will never believe it yourself, or you never thought that someone would say it about what you said. This is my reminder, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam. But today I chose to talk about I want to talk about something that a lot of shuyukh, a lot of scholars, or a lot of teachers, they don't ponder a lot. I mean, they don't talk about it too much. I mean, reality that is the Salat of Janazah, the funeral prayers. And when we talk about funeral prayer, we talk about reminder of the hereafter, because what is our destination? Basically, our destination is to go back to Allah, and we go on whether to hellfire or to the Jannah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to admit us in the Jannah. So this is things that missing in the life of people, and that when someone has a funeral of a Muslim, that we take into consideration these things, because the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, ما من ميت يصلي عليه أمة من المسلمين يبلغون مئة كلهم يشفعون له إلا شفعوا فيه. Any dead, any deceased one that in the prayer, the funeral prayer, 100 people, they will make prayer on him when he died, and they will, and hereafter they will intercede, they will ask to intercede on his behalf, Allah will grant him such intercession. What does it mean? Mean when we have someone died, we should have a lot of people that making salat on him or on her. These things are highly recommended. It's not a must, but it's highly recommended. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave another chance to the deceased person, that Muslim who died, and if 100 people offered funeral salah on him, and they will ask in hereafter to intercede on his behalf, Allah will grant them such a thing. This deen is the deen of opportunities. Allah given us opportunities after opportunities. Without are there are uncountable opportunities. This is the deen of opportunities. Another hadith of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يقول ما من رجل مسلم يموت فيقوم على جنازته 40 رجلا لا يشركون بالله شيئا إلا شفعهم الله فيه. This authentic hadith narrated by Muslim. Any man, Muslim man, that he dies and 40 men will stand up and offer salah, funeral salah on him, and those 40 people that do not associate partners with Allah, Allah will make them intercede on his behalf in the hereafter. And I am talking about the highly recommended things when someone died. And this is our what the Nawawi rahmatullahi alayh, he said that highly recommended to have many people who offer salah and prayer on the deceased one. And from these two hadith narration of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every time you have more people and groups that offer in salah, prayer, funeral prayer on the deceased one, and they will attain the number of 100, Allah will grant him the intercession. And also on the top of that, these 140 people who offered salah on this deceased one, they will also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive this deceased one that lay in the front of their eyes. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even he divided the ranks of the Muslims when a funeral prayer takes place, he divided them in three roles. Be careful. This is sunnah, is very important. Very important that we divide the lines of the believers when they are offering the funeral prayer on the deceased one into three ranks. Because the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا صَلَّ عَلَى الْجَنَازَةِ فَتَقَالَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهَا جَزَّأَهُمْ عَلَيْهَا ثَلَاثَةَ أَجْزَاءَ ثُمَّ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ مَنْ صَلَّ عَلَيْهِ ثَلَاثَةُ صُفُوفٍ فَقَدْ أَوْجَبَ. This sound hadith. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he offered the prayer or funeral prayer on a deceased one and he saw that not a lot of people had come to that prayer, he will divide them into three ranks. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, any deceased one that the three ranks will offer prayer on him, he will be granted paradise. And my dear respected brothers and sisters, if you have a will, last testimony, testimony and will. If you did not write it, write it. Go ahead and write it. I ask you, for Allah's sake, if you did not write your will, especially if you are a newly converted Muslim, write your will and say in your will whatever is sunnah to be done on your behalf when you die. Because many people, many brothers and sisters, they don't have their will, and they are newly converted Muslims from America and elsewhere. When they die and they don't have their will, guess who take over their affairs? Their parents, if they are alive, or their closest relatives or brothers or siblings. And even, this is, the law grants them such a thing. The law will grant them to take over their brother or sisters or child or son or daughter affairs when they die. You as a Muslim, even though you are the closest to the deceased one, but you cannot touch him. You cannot take over his affairs, because his non-Muslim relatives or non-Muslim parents or non-Muslim siblings, these are the ones who have full law, the law on their side to take over his or her affairs. Be careful. This has happened. Someone in our community several years ago, he had an accident and he went into coma, and he is the only one Muslim in his family. He's the younger brother. Now what happened? He went into coma, and his mother and her son, I mean the other brother of the brother who is in coma, they block even the visitation of Muslim to their brother who's laying in the hospital in intensive care. And I swear by Allah, if that brother died, he will be buried in Christian way, in non-Muslim way. He will be buried in Christian or non-Muslim cemetery. He will be washed. He will not even be washed. He will be buried according to the methodology well known among the people here. Yes. Shoes. Take your shoes off. Take shoes over there. Yes, we need anything? Okay, you need to wait about half hour or so. Half hour. Wait for me outside. Huh? Wait for me outside. Okay, wait for me here in the lobby. Okay. Take your shoes off. So, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, this is what would happen. So the will is very important. So you write your will and make sure that you notarize it, and someone had already notarized it for you. So at this time you are safe, and you give it to another, to give it to the local mosque of yours, or you give it to someone that you know. Even if, don't say I am young, I'm 20 years old. Does not matter. Because we don't know. At that time, if something happened to someone, it will be your fault. It will be your fault because you have not left anything, documentation, legal documentation, to execute your will. When there is a will, and the imam of the mosque of your locality, he can act and the law behind him. He said, no, the deceased person, even though his mother or father or sibling can take over his affairs, but no, he said, he put in charge this brother or this sister of his or her affairs. He want to be buried in a Muslim cemetery. He want to be washed and prepared according to the Muslim methodology. He want to be this salat of janazah to be in three ranks. You can do this, nothing wrong with it. You specify how you want to be buried. What happened to your properties? What would happen? This must be recorded in your will. So this is why I talk about the prayer of janazah. This is basically what I talk about. A lot of people missing this when they die because they have not left the proper documentation, especially in America, to execute their wishes and their will, how to go about for their own burial. When you are alive, you can say what you want, you can execute whatever you want, but once you will be disabled, or you are in a comatose state, or you are dead, then it's your choice is not yours anymore. The decision is not yours anymore. Therefore, it is incumbent that for us, all of us Muslims, new or old Muslims, new converts in Islam, that we will write our own will and write it and even specify the sunnah of doing so. I want it to be this, I want it to be this, and I want no flower on my grave, and I want my grave to be built with cement, or to be built with this and that and the other. So once the three ranks are established, three ranks on the front of the deceased person, there's something that we will get reward for. If you go there, you hasten. You hasten to go. As a man, especially men, they go and haste. To what? To the remembrance of the hereafter, because the death itself is a remembrance of, reminds you, it's a reminder, reminds you of the hereafter, and that you're going to be, that is your destination. You're looking at the body laying in front of you, that means that it is your destination. Your destination is going to be like that, wrapped in a white sheet, and you're going to be wrapped in two white sheets, and you're going to be in front of people, and people will offer the funeral prayer on you. So imagine this. What did you prepare for that? Prepare a lot of good deeds. Prepare a lot of forgiveness. That you ask Allah to forgive you. Prepare a lot of love for the others. Prepare a lot of the charity that you gave for Allah's sake. To build a mosque, to support a mosque, to build a graveyard, to build a school, to sponsor a school, sponsor children in Islamic school, all that good deeds, prepare it. You gave your zakah, you make your salah on time, you haven't been zigzagging in your salah. That means you do it one time on time, and the other no. You've been firm on your deen. You never went back to the Jahiliyyah. He said, "Wow, this movie is so good. I want to go back, you know, those days, you know. Even though I'm Muslim right now, but I've got to watch that movie. It's so good." No. You keep firm on your deen. You keep firm on your deen. Even your mama has invited you, and she is not Muslim, to the Christmas, to celebrate Christmas. And he told her no. So therefore, this is more important, very important, very important that we prepare for the hereafter and for a day of judgment. One quick, and I'll finish inshallah next week, because I told Sister Layla my classes will not be that long. And with the janazah prayer, that the janazah prayer requires wudu. You must have wudu to perform the janazah prayer. Janazah prayer does not have any sujood, any prostrations of any kind whatsoever, and does not have any ruku'ah, bowing whatsoever. Why? Because the sujood is only for the Allah. The prostration, that is only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Bowing is we bow only to Allah. We don't bow to a dead person, we don't bow to a scholar, we don't bow to anybody, or we don't prostrate to anybody. But we do prostrate and bow to Allah only. That's why when we offer the funeral salah, the funeral prayer, we only stay up, standing up. We will offer the salah standing up. And this salah resembles a lot of, you know, some of it somehow, the salah of our regular salah. It starts with Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and you raise your hand. Allahu Akbar. And inshallah, next week I'll finish up the prayer of the janazah and how it is and what we should do after this, inshallah, next week. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه إنه الغفور الرحيم. If you want any, you have any question, concern, correction, question, please let me know, or inshallah I'll see you next week at 6 p.m. maybe I check at 5:30 to see if there is a slot I can get in at 5:30, but be around inshallah. MashaAllah, brothers and sisters who are on the web most of the time, and even those who will come on the weekend, may Allah reward you. Please let me give you this token of appreciation to all of you, those who come to the web and try to learn. I swear by Allah that most of the web, what is being delivered in the web, is according to the book of Allah and according to the sunnah. Of my knowledge of the good, I know about the brothers who are, you know, trying to do their best in this web. Learn it and seize this opportunity. You don't know when is your time, and you don't know whether you're going to be busy tomorrow or you're going to be free tomorrow. So seize it as you can do. Please, may Allah, inshallah, inshallah, I will continue on the janazah prayer next week. So inshallah, we will get more knowledge about this. May Allah reward you, inshallah.